Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come now in the precious name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that we cannot do anything without you. We acknowledge, oh God, it is in you we live. It is in you we breathe. And it is in you we have our being. We acknowledge, oh God, your Lord and your Master over everything. We acknowledge, oh God, that you have this whole world in your hand. We acknowledge, oh God, if you speak to the winds, they will obey you. We know, God, if you speak to the waters, they will obey you. Father, we honor you because you're so great. Just by your words, you spoke, and darkness disappeared, and light came forth. Just by your word, God, you spoke, and land was separated from water. We want to tell you thank you. God, there's no one as great as you. There's no one as powerful as you. Even more than that, oh God, you spoke into an empty body. And you bred into that body the breath of life. And man became a living soul. There is no God like you. That's why we honor you, God. And that's why we praise you today. Breaking the bread of life to your people. I'm asking you, God, that you would hide behind him, behind the cross. Give him a right now word, a word that will suit our congregation. And for everyone under the sound of my voice, I don't know their needs today, but God, I know you hear and you answer. I'm asking you, God, that you would hear and you would answer their prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning is going to be coming from Isaiah, the 40th chapter. And I'm going to begin reading at verses 28 on through verse 31. I hope this will bless you as it has blessed me as I read it earlier today. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? I want to read that again. Amen. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary. There is no search of his understanding. Amen. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen to the word of God. Amen, amen.
I don't believe
that
he brought me this far,
my God,
to leave me. There's a word from the Lord for us this morning. If you're turning your Bibles with us, your smart devices, to Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 15. St. Luke chapter 15. Shine a sermonic spotlight on verses 11. Let's go to 11, verses 11 through 28 of Luke chapter 15. Second time, but I'll read the whole passage for you, the whole story of the parable for you. This is the parable of the law of the lost son. Very familiar passage to us. God has convinced me there's fresh water in this old well. So Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, I exalt your name in all the earth. Father God, just once again, another time, just a few handmaids, we come together just to thank you and praise you.
Yes.
Father God, you've been good to us. You've kept us from danger, seen and unseen. You kept us in the midst of a newsome pestilence, and we thank you.
Amen.
And Father God, even those that have been touched in our midst, you're still keeping them. You're a faithful God,
yes.
And we thank you.
Yes.
But right now, Father God, we gather around and we sit down at your feet because we need a word from you.
Amen.
And without a word from you, what would we do? You said that heaven and earth would pass away before one syllable,
yes.
One sound of your word,
yes.
Passes away.
Yes.
Father God, you said there'd be a new heaven and a new earth, but you say your word would not pass away.
Yeah.
So Father God, we ask you for a word,
yes.
One that would strengthen your people, one that would encourage them, one that would restore and heal them.
Yeah.
Father God, one that will give them the right and the courage to repent whatever it is they're going through. Father God, we ask that you just be with us today. Allow your Holy Spirit to go ahead and go forth and exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Anoint every mind and seat in this place. And Father God, everyone under the sound of my voice, touch their hearts and their minds. So Father God, whatever's accomplished in this setting, O Heavenly God, we will be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people hear it. Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen,
yes,
of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And I will say unto him,
yes.
Father,
Father,
I have sinned against heaven and before thee.
Yes, Lord God.
And am no more worthy
yes.
to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father.
Yes.
But when he was yet a great way off,
yes.
his father saw him
yes.
and had compassion
yes, Lord.
And ran
yes.
and fell on his neck
yes,
and kissed him.
Yes, sir.
In your own quiet time, I want to encourage you to read the whole thing. I think I'm going to stop right there.
Yes.
That's enough for the topic I need to give to you this morning. The young man has spent all of his money in riotous living.
Yes.
He was hungry.
Yes.
He was hungry.
Yes.
I want to give to you a topic this morning. To speak a little bit to you from the scriptures that were read into your hearing. When we came to ourselves. When we came to ourselves.
Yes.
You may rest yourself in the presence of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, our familiarity with this passage of scripture often breeds a kind of standoffishness. Because we have heard it preached so often, or we heard it read so often, or we are so familiar with it that we think there's no nuance to it. But every time I read this passage,
yeah.
preach from this passage,
uh-huh.
or hear it read, I come up with some new insight.
My God.
Because the Word of God is as fresh as this morning's newspaper. And it is sharper than a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
There's new insight always given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit into his own word.
Wow.
We are familiar with this passage of scripture. It's Jesus' parable about a lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son.
Yeah.
This younger boy in the third movement of the parable, this younger son comes up to his aged father and says to him, give me of my portion of your goods. He comes to the man he wants to lead to ask for the money to afford to do it. Let that settle on you for a minute. Even in his rebellion, he had to depend on his father. In order to get away from him, his father had to finance his rebellion. It's a good thing that he did not grow up, Reverend Lyons, at Palm Tree Avenue, Coconut Grove in Nassau, Bahamas, where I was born. He would have gone. He would have left. But he would have been rolling out in a wheelchair. But his father in the parable represents God. His father loves him enough, knowing outside his protecting presence, the boy is doomed for failure. But the father loves him enough to grant him the freedom to take his journey. Because love means letting go when you know it is not in your best interest. Love means standing back and letting them fall. You have to let children hit it on hard times.
Yes.
So that they can realize how good they had it before they left.
Amen.
This boy wants to leave his father.
My Lord.
And his father finances his journey.
Bless God. Bless God.
He takes his father's cash.
Uh-huh.
He takes his father's property.
Yes.
And he strikes out for the far country.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit revealed to me in this passage that the far country for the sinner is a geographical location.
Yeah.
But for the Christian,
uh-huh.
The far country is a spiritual condition. For the child of God, any place in your life where God is off limits and God will not inhabit is the far country. Sin is always the vehicle used to transport us away from God's presence. For the unbeliever, the sinner, the far country is a geographical location. But for the child of God, it is a spiritual condition. You can be in church and yet be in the far country. Any area in your life where God is not welcome and he will not inhabit is the far country. It's a spiritual condition. It's a state of mind. It's a state of your heart. When you sit in God's presence, when you sit in God's presence, you don't enjoy it. You worship and it has no impact on your everyday life. You read the Bible, but you don't get anything from the reading of the Bible. You are in the house, but like that coin, you are lost. This boy gets money from his daddy to take his journey. And he goes to the far country away from his father's requirements, away from his father's demands, but also away, listen to me, from his father's protecting presence. He turns his back not only his father but his faith. That father, listen to me, church and pastor teaches, that father had every right to have that boy brought outside the city gates and stoned by the elders of the community because he disrespected his father and his faith. But his father loves him enough to grant him the freedom to walk his own way. Listen, when you get ready to disobey God, God, he is not going to stop you. God will not put any impediments in your way. Because the wrath of God, the judgment of God, is God just taking his hands off your life and saying to you, if you want to sin, go right ahead. But in the end, who is going to pay for all this? I don't need a witness here because I know this for myself. Sin has always taken me further than I intended to go. I wish I had time to stay right there. But this boy takes his father's property, liquidates it into cash, strikes out for the bright lights and the broad avenues.
Yes, yes, my God.
And it is not long before he has wasted his substance on riotous living. Help me, Holy Spirit. Because when you don't work for it, you waste it. Many parents will testify that when the children were in your house, all the lights were on, they slept with the television on, they don't want to clean up behind themselves, they open up the refrigerator just to see what's in the refrigerator, just looking to see what's in there. But now that they have their own place, they're turning the lights off. Every time they go in and out of the room, they clean it up, don't want nothing to mess up, turning the television off when they go to bed, because now they have to pay for it. Whenever you don't work for it, you don't care about it. And you waste it, and you have no appreciation for it. This boy did not work for anything, and he takes his father's property and heads out to the far country. And it's not long before he is in want. The scripture says no one would give him anything. He hires himself out to a farmer who farms swine, pigs. No Orthodox Jewish boy would ever dream of coming near an unclean thing. But desperation will do one of two things to you. It will drive you to God or draw you away from God. Everybody under the sound of my voice that is honest has been desperate enough to either run towards God or run away from God. Sin will make you run away. Pride will make you run away. But when you are desperate enough, I repeat that just for myself. When you are desperate enough, it will drive you back to the church. People that have been delivered by God should always remember, when you get up, praise God with a shout, just like you cried in your desperation. Because if God heard you when you were desperate, God hears you when you get back on your feet. Praise God with a loud voice. When you are up or when you are down. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. This boy is now desperate. His desperation drives him to a pig farm. And he is hungry. Y'all didn't hear me? He is hungry. The scripture says he's about to fill his belly with the husk, with the slop that the swine were eating. And then he came to himself. The phrase "he came to himself" literally translated means his reasoning returned. He came to himself literally means he stopped being insane. Whenever you are outside the Father's presence, living like you are not even raised by the Father, you are insane. Whenever you are outside the Father's presence, acting like you don't even have a Father, you are insane. That's why you can't blame these young men today with their pants hanging down. You can see their underwear. They are insane. That's right. Log it, write it, Pastor said it. You can't blame these girls for going to school and the grocery store with their pajamas on. Because they are insane. They go like that to the bank, down the street, with their house slippers on and a do-rag on their head. Because nobody is in the house raising them because their parents are insane. Listen, when we were growing up, I'm talking about the over 40 crowd now. We may have come from a broken home, but we did not have broken families. Let me say that one more time so you get the point I'm trying to make. We may have come from a broken home, but we did not have broken families. Because everyone in the community was our family. Some old man, some old woman would tell you, boy, put your shirt in your pants. Say yes, ma'am. Say no, sir. You came in the room with some old people in the room and did not speak. They would say to you, did you sleep with us last night? Then they would tell your mama, that girl's smelling herself. That boy's smelling himself. Then your mama would put you back in place right in front of them. But the parents are insane, so invariably we got a whole generation walking the streets insane. Unless the church does something about it, unless we tighten up ourselves, we will have to keep our doors locked, keep alarm systems on our homes, and burglar bars on our windows. Because we are not giving these young people any direction because they are not getting it at home. The only people that can really help them is those of us who have already been helped. This boy is in the far country with no help, no visible means of support. And he's about to eat slop from the hogs. When he came to himself, thank God we came to ourselves. Once he comes to himself, he's talking to himself. If you are a child of God, sometimes you have to come to yourself. Sometimes you have to say to yourself, you know better than that. Sometimes you have to come to yourself when you see somebody else you don't like. Are y'all with me? When you see somebody you don't like. Or y'all ain't feeling me.
Yes, sir.
Or you see somebody that gets on your nerves. You have to come to yourself. As you are coming to yourself, you would say, I should not speak to her. But I know what the Bible says. The Bible says sometimes you have to talk to yourself in, out of stuff.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And then you got to talk to yourself out of some stuff. You have to tell yourself, don't do that.
Amen.
Don't do it. Don't go that way. Dangerous intersection. Danger. Danger. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. You have to go far to know who Will Robinson is. You have to be able to talk yourself out of some stuff. Because a whole lot of stuff I would have not got into if I would have come to myself and talked myself out of it. While in the pig pen, he starts to come to himself. Can I help you, somebody? He recognizes his sin. He recognizes he has done wrong.
Yes.
But recognition must lead, Reverend Lyle, to repentance.
That's it.
Because you can recognize and never repent.
That's right.
You can know that you're wrong and refuse to say, I'm sorry.
That's it. That's right.
You would rather die in your sin than acknowledge you have done wrong. Recognition must lead to repentance.
Yes.
Every alcoholic recognizes that he or she is an alcoholic. But until you go to treatment, you have not repented.
Yes.
Every drug addict knows he or she is a drug addict.
Yes.
But you have not repented until you go to treatment.
Amen.
Repentance does not mean smoking one joint instead of five.
Amen.
Repentance does not mean having one drink instead of three.
Yes.
Or drinking a weak drink instead of a strong drink. That's not repentance. Repentance means taking a 180-degree turn and not go in that direction anymore. You have to get away from the people that will cause you to do the stuff you do. Recognition must lead to repentance. This boy recognizes because the scripture says he came to himself. He came to his senses. His reasoning returned. He stopped being insane. That's recognizing I have no business where I am. I am more than what I have become. I have no business in this pig pen. Nothing in my background says I should be where I am. Except sin took me further than I intended to go. I came from a good home. I was raised with a loving father. I had everything I could desire, but I had no appreciation for it. And when you have no appreciation for it, you squander it. You don't have to be young to be foolish. I'll say that again.
Amen.
Oh, help me, somebody. You don't have to be young to be foolish like that. I think it's more tragic when you get up in age and squander God's blessings. Take for granted God's opportunity. God has laid it right out before you. And you recognize it, but you don't repent. Listen, repentance is not just about sin. Repentance is not, can I teach it? It's not just about sin. You can repent about wrong motives. Wrong and tainted imagination.
Yes, yes.
Wrong views of where God wants your life to be headed.
Yes.
And you can repent for a good thing.
Yes.
And say, God, I know I've not sinned.
Yes.
I have not robbed a bank.
Uh-huh.
I have not committed adultery. I have not lied, God.
Yes.
I just have not lived up to my potential.
Yes.
Somebody under the sound of my voice this morning, they need to repent for not living up to your potential. I want to be the best pastor, teacher I can be. Anything less than that is lower than what I was created for. If I'm lower than what I was created for, God says I can repent for it. I can turn away from less than what God made me to be. Repentance comes with recognition. He says, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare?
Mm-hmm.
And me, my father's son?
Mm-hmm.
is in this pig pen perishing from hunger. I will arise and go to my Father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before God. Oh, y'all don't let me. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Recognition leads to repentance. Listen, y'all. But conviction of sin has to lead to confession. Tell your teachers, Holy Ghost. Conviction of sin has to lead to confession.
Yes.
It is not to be. It is not enough to be convicted. You must confess.
Yes.
He said, "I have sinned. Nobody made me do this. Nobody coaxed me into doing this. I had it going on. I decided to leave my Father's presence. I decided to walk out on my Father's mercy. I decided I want to try life on my own. I decided I did not want to be under my Father's roof. I. We need to try that sometime. I lied. I gossiped. I committed adultery. I've been disobedient. I made a mistake. I disappointed. I have not been all I've been proclaiming. I messed up. I should have been helping Holy Ghost. I should have been dead. I should have died on the cross. I should be in hell this morning. You will never be saved until you admit I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. The classic story, y'all, of this is in the scripture, is King David. When he was on the throne of Israel, adjudicating matters of state, a sin he had committed a year ago has come back to haunt him. Nathan, the prophet, goes into the palace and tells the king a little story about a rich man with many sheep and the poor man with one little ewe sheep. Nathan says, King, he had all those sheep, but he took the poor man's one little sheep. King, what do you think should happen, King? David said, bring him here. I think he should be put to death. The raised finger of the prophet in the king's face in the palace said, King, you are the man. Did David blame Bathsheba? No. Did David not blame his did he blame his environment? No. Did David blame anybody who he had around him? No. David fell on his knees. And that's what you do when you sin. Heard. Listen to this. This is what he said. That is what you need to do when you sin, David said. Fall on your knees. Notice I said, when you sin. I said, when you sin. I didn't say if you did sin or you might sin. Because as long as you are in this flesh, you are going to sin. But when David sinned, he got on his knees and wrote. I was asking some Bible readers up there on the side of my voice. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Block out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, O God,
behold,
I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Created me, David said, a clean heart. Created me a clean heart, and renewed the right spirit within me. Lord, I know I messed up. But whatever you do, God, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. My distance from you because of my sin has messed up our relationship, God. But God, my God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. There's somebody under the sound of my your joy in your salvation. Because you know, whenever you mess up, you have an advocate with the Father. Whenever you make a mistake, you don't blame anybody else. You don't try to blame the principal in your high school. You don't blame your environment. You don't blame the television. God, I messed up. And I need you to wash me thoroughly from my sin. Then I can teach transgressors your way. I am in this pulpit this morning as a living example that God forgives sin. I'm in this church this morning as a living witness, as a live testimony that if you pray and pray right and ask him, God will forgive you for your sins. Then stand you back up on your feet and let you serve him with power and conviction. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all of your righteousness. I know that's in the book today. You don't have to walk around with your head hung down. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, O ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory and the King of glory shall come in.
Yes, sir.
Sin should make you moan. Sin should make you mourn. Sin should make you cry. But when that sin has been washed away, you should come to church with a shout. You should come to worship and celebrate. Because I have some scars on my back, but the Lord has been good to me. I have some decisions I wish I would not have made. There's some stuff I wish I could go back in my past and undo. But hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus nailed that sin on the cross. And I don't have to bear it anymore. So I can come to church on Sunday morning free. Because whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed. Recognition. Here we go. Recognition must lead to repentance. Conviction must lead to confession. Unless I hold y'all too long this morning. That boy in verse number 20 says, and he arose and came to his father's house. Recognition leads to repentance. Conviction leads to confession. But if you want restoration, if you want restoration, you got to return. If you want restoration, you must return. You got to get up from your repentance. Get up from your confession. If you want to be restored, you have to go back to the one you offended. Brothers and sisters, hear me as I try my best to close this thing. Returning. Oh my God. Returning. That's a long walk. After you have sinned and know that you have done wrong and have to go back to the Father's house. That's a long walk. But it's a worthy walk. Because what is waiting on you is worth the walk. All the way to that boy's daddy's house. He's going over his speech. Help me, preacher God. In his mind, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. And I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me a high servant. Can I exegete the text? The word high servant means make me a day laborer. A high servant means make me a day laborer. No FICA, no hospitalization, no retirement. Just call me when you need me. Because I'm not even worthy to be in your regular employment. I messed up so bad, Daddy, that I'm not worthy of you hiring me on a regular basis. Just meet me in the parking lot of Home Depot, God. Just hire me if you need me. Somebody, just me for a few hours. Because I'm not worthy of you taking care of me. That is in his mind all the way walking home. It's a long walk.
Yes, it is.
A
long walk. Yes, it is.
What?
But God.
But
God.
Unbeknownst to him. The Father is not mad. Without him knowing, the Father is still waiting on him. just like he left it.
His father
kept the light on, waiting for him. And every day, I'm sure, can I use my sanctified imagination? Every day the father would go outside the gate, watch, looking for that boy to come home. He thought he saw somebody the other day that looked like his son, but it was not him. His heart leaped with excitement because he thought it was his son, but it was not him. Jesus is tenderly waiting and calling today. Calling today. But
one day,
that boy leaves the pig pen, heads back to his father's house because he came to himself. Here's what the Bible says. While he was a great way off, he had not even made it home yet. I want you to know that God knows you're coming back. You think he's forgotten about him. You know he has not. You forgot about God. But God has not forgotten about you. Thank you, God, for Jesus. The father said, saw him. The boy went up to his daddy, rehearsing what he had been talking to himself. He made up in his mind, he's going to say that speech come hell or high water. Because it was a long walk home. And he had plenty of time to rehearse it. Because he had done wrong. And when he got to the father, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. I'm no longer worthy. The father says, watch God. The father says, forget that. Let's not talk about that anymore. Can I go back to the Bible on you? The Bible says God takes our sin and throw them into the sea of forgiveness as far as the east is to the west. He says, servant, go get my robe. My son does not have any clothes. So go and get my robe and put it on him. Servants, bring my shoes. Because only slaves walk barefooted. He's not a slave. He's my son. He's an heir to the promises. Get my shoes and put it on him. As a matter of fact, go in my dresser drawer and get the family ring that I might use to sign documents and put it on his finger. Because he was dead, Reverend Lyle. But he is alive again. He was lost, but now his son. And they began to be married. When you sin, it's a long walk back to the father's house. Listen, you church, listen to pastor. But when you get there, you should not have to face that older brother. Lord, have mercy. You should not have to face that older brother when you go back. The walk was long enough. The pain is bad enough. The sin has made you feel guilty enough. Now you have to come to the father's house and meet an older brother or sister who can't forgive. There's some older brother or sister under the sound of my voice this morning who have an unforgiving spirit. Yeah, you got an unforgiving spirit. There are some mean older brothers and older sisters who forgot what they used to be. That's right, you forgot what you used to be. Who forgot what the Lord has delivered you from. Because if you have been delivered from sin, you are merciful on other people who have fallen into sin. I got enough stuff that I have to repent for instead of me trying to pour cold water on somebody else who's trying to come back to God. When God covered stuff that you don't even know about, he looked beyond my faults and your faults and saw our needs. And when that got back to it, when the boy got back to his daddy's house, the daddy did not care what the older brother said. The father said, my son was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost, now he's found. I'm done now, y'all. I kept y'all long enough. But if you are under the sound of my voice this morning, there is room for you at the Father's house. But you have to return. You have to come back. It's not enough to repent. It's not enough to confess. You have to return. You have to get up from where you are and say, I know I have done wrong. I know these people, oh, y'all hear me? I know these people are going to be looking at me like I don't belong here. But guess what? They don't belong here either. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I'm not going to let you dampen my homecoming. I'm glad, brothers and sisters, that I came to myself. I came home. I'm saying I'm glad that I came to myself. I found my way home for me and my father's house. I'm not talking about $10, $30, $129, where my daddy used to preside before he went home to glory to be with the Lord. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the house of God. I'm talking about the presence of God. So I'm comfortable every time I come to church. Even with my issues, even with my sin problems, even with some stuff I have yet to repent for, even with some problems you don't know anything about, I still feel welcome at my Father's house because my coming here has nothing to do with you. My coming here has no matter who is here or not. I'm coming to my Father's house. Who's singing or who's praying, who's preaching, it don't matter. I woke up this morning. He started me on my way. I woke up, y'all, with my mind stayed on Jesus. I come to the church because there's joy in the Father's presence. I come to the church because I get peace when I get in the place. I come to the church because there's not something about being in the company of other struggling sinners. Other people know what it means to make mistakes. Other people know how it feels to be forgiven. I enjoy being on a pew with people who have had some problems in their past because we are not looking down on one another, but we are holding one another's hands, struggling through what we have to struggle through. But there's joy in the Father's house. Help your child, Christian love. There's peace in the Father's house. Do you want to know why some people get to church so early on Sunday morning? It's because they want to sit by some people who they know have been through some of the same things they've been through. They don't get to church late. They wake up early in the morning, find their seat, and start praising God right there. And sometimes they don't wait till they get to church. They start praising God when they wake up in the morning. And by the time they get to church, they don't need a praise team. They're already on fire. Can I get a witness in here? Because the Lord has been just that good. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice ever praise the Lord in your house? Your neighbors think you're losing your mind. They think you're going crazy because you are just shouting and giving God the glory. Because when the Lord delivers you, you don't care who's looking at you. When the Lord forgives you, you don't care what anybody says about you. The Bible says that Father fell on his son's neck and smothered the boy with kisses.
Yes, he did.
Would not even let him say his speech. All had been forgiven. Aren't you glad God does not hold yesterday against you? Aren't you glad God does not hold your past against you? Aren't you glad that God doesn't hold your sins against you? You have been forgiven. You have been set free. You have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now you come to church to give God the praise. You take time out to sit in a service to give God his praise. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that came to yourself and made your way back to the Father's house? Is there anybody under the sound of my voice ever repented of your sin? Is there anybody under the sound of my voice who has ever had to confess your sins? Thank God you came back to yourself and returned to the Father's house. And when you got there, you found some joy. If you are under the sound of my voice, Lord, and you are not afraid to testify, you have your own story today, and you don't care who is looking at you. This morning, I want you to get up and preach just like Pastor. I want you, wherever you are, you can just stand up and just preach just like Pastor. Preach, y'all, just like I said. Say it just like that. I've been redeemed. Follow me down to the Jordan Stream. I know my robe is going to fit me well because I tried my robe on at hell's door. I tried it on at the gates of hell. Is there anybody here that know you've been washed? Now you've been forgiven. I know you've been redeemed. I know I've been washed. I've been sanctified. I know my name is I'm going to see Grammy. I'm going to see all my aunts. Can I get a witness up in here? Some glad morning. Thank God for redemption. Thank God for restoration. That can only take place when we come to ourselves. Ain't God all right?
He's all right.
He's all right. When Reverend Law comes to give you invitation to discipleship or membership, you need to come to yourself.
Yes.
The word of God has been preached over your life. You can't say God didn't inform you. He made it plain enough so that a child can understand. He draw back the drapes of his understanding. He made his word plain enough so that you may understand.
Yes.
You only have to come to yourself.
Yes.
You ain't got to worry about an elder brother or sister who cares what they think or say.
No.
Just return unto him. And if you don't know the Lord, now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. May God bless and keep you. This is our prayer.
But he came to himself. And when he came to himself, he decided that he needed to turn around. My brothers and my sisters, under the sound of my voice today, if you are like that prodigal son that had wandered away from your father, you may have wandered away in so many different directions. I want you to know today that the Father is not mad at you. Thank God, the word of God said he's to the backslider. That means no matter how far you go, he's still right there with you. So right now, if you're in the sound of my voice and you want to do like the prodigal son did, you want to come back to your father and you want to say, Father, forgive me. That's us today. Wherever you are, you can ask the Father to forgive you. Nobody else may forgive you. That is okay. As long as the Father forgive you. Amen, and welcome you back that you are okay. And our next invitation today, you may be under the sound of my voice, and you do not have a place or a family of God that you can connect with. It's very important after you come back to the Father that you connect yourself to the family. Amen. So we here at New Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church would love to include you as a part of this family. So we want to give you that opportunity. And if you answered yes to any one of those, you can call us. We'll make contact with you. 954-612-0141. And we'll be right here. We'll welcome you into the family of God. We'll pray for you and help you as you go on your way with him. Amen. What a word today. There's forgiveness in God. We don't have to walk around with the guilt and with the shame. He wants us to be delivered and set free. I'm going to pray for you right now for any one of those decisions that you have made, that God will give you the strength, not just to come to the Father's house, but to accept the Father while you're in his house, and then continue to follow the Father from this day forward. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters under the sound of my voice. Those, Lord Jesus, that have heard the word of God and they realize that they have wandered far away from you. But Lord, we thank you for today. So many have decided to come to themselves. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that as they say this prayer, the word of God says, if I confess with my mouth and if I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I shall be saved. If you repeated that, I want to let you know you're saved right now. Not tomorrow, right now. And we welcome you into the family of God. Amen. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer. Would you join with me now? Raise your hands for the benediction. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship fellowship of His Holy Spirit. Rest and remain with us now, henceforth and forevermore. Let the church say, amen.